Greetings and salutations, fine people. I'm Patty Alvarez. Welcome to The Good Soul, a show where we'll have supercharged chats with everyday humans from all walks of life and unpack what in their story will inspire us all. We'll extract the untapped wisdom, distill it, and serve it up to you in all the right ways that will engage, enlighten, and most of all, inspire growth within your soul. I think people are awesome. So join me on this journey through the hearts and minds of ordinary people to uncover the good soul within you. This is The Good Soul. Hello, everybody out there. Welcome to The Good Soul. We're on episode 6. I can't believe we're here already.
Well, first, let me start by congratulations, sweetheart.
Oh, thank you, sweetie. Welcome. By the way, this is my husband, Manny, for those of you who don't know. Hello. He's going to be my trusty sidekick, somebody I can kind of filter through.
Right
so our topic today is something I'm really excited about. It's something that's inevitable. It's something that we all have to experience in our life, no matter what. Oh, and that is change. So the title of today's episode is We Plan, God Laughs. Oh. Embracing change. Uh-huh. Yes. So remember, if you're not changing, you're not living. And that's something that we just simply can't avoid. Today, we're going to unpack what it looks like to navigate the uncertain waters of change. We're going to get into Manny's journey through dealing with a multiple sclerosis diagnosis. And we're going to go through what I like to call the dark ages of my life. And in our final segment, we're going to leave you with some tips on how we can skip through the counterproductive monkey mind business, right?
Which is hard to do, but yes.
It is hard to do, yeah. And we're going to touch on that also. And this then will leave us ourselves free and clear so that we can be our best selves and live our best life as good souls. Yeah. So how does that sound to you, baby?
That's sounding good, sweetheart.
Good. All right. Well, are you ready to embrace change today, baby?
I'm trying to every day. All accept right. It. It's going to come.
Good. Well, that's definitely true. So the natural ups and downs of life can either generate personal growth or personal fears. We can approach them one of two ways. Which of these two responses that dominates is completely dependent on how we view change. Right. True, so change, true. Right, which people are opposed to can be viewed as exciting for some people and frightening for others. And no matter how we interpret it, we have to understand that change is the very nature of life. So why are we so afraid of it? Why are we so afraid of it? We've gone
unexpected.
To the mind. Unexpected. Yeah. The fear of the unknown. Yeah. I just actually read a study that showed people that knew there was a 50% chance that they were going to get burnt. Versus a 100% of chance, right? Well, not that they ended up getting up burnt, but they were more fearful knowing they might get burnt versus knowing they were definitely going to get burnt. I guess knowing that having the ability to brace yourself is one thing, but the unknown.
To prepare.
Yeah, to be able to prepare for the unknown. And preparing for that unknown, that's kind of the whole crux of our episode today. But being able to keep our cool and stay grounded and stay
hard
rational.
That's really hard to do.
So I am not okay, right? We say this to ourselves when we're afraid, when we're going through something that's not different. And what do I need to do? What does the world need to be doing to me to make me feel as though everything is okay? And then we devote ourselves, our lives, and try into trying to create that situation where everything is okay. So I'm going to give you a little spoiler here. That's never going to work.
We're never going to work. Yeah. That never works out like that. It's always different paths.
Always
you got to choose the path and prepare for it, like we were just saying.
Yeah, absolutely. You want to be prepared for your path.
At least the best you can.
Yeah. Well, and this is a big reason why I like to meditate and why I like to do yoga and just like why I really try to keep my you-know-what together mentally. My father had an old saying. It was one of my favorites. You have got to learn to control your emotions, right?
I learned to just time out.
Yeah. Yeah. He times out, especially when we argue.
Because you don't want to say the wrong thing and hurt someone you love.
Yeah.
And especially you, sweetie. You know.
Thank you. That's very sweet of you. Well, Jay Shetty, one of my favorite love language stories is Jay Shetty's fight language. And Jay Shetty says the fight languages mean that there's one of two ways of handling an argument. And this is kind of a little off topic, but we might as well say it because it does fit.
Right.
That there's either you confront the top, you confront the conflict. So I'm saying, no, I want to resolve this now. Please don't walk away from me. Right. That. And he hobbles away and he says, I just give me a minute.
My cane.
Yeah. He hobbles away.
Wheelchair, whatever it takes.
He walks like Herman Munster. And that's really hard for me. And I think it's my fear of change. And Chris McClure said to us after our episode 2 weeks ago, he said, Manny, can you just look at Patty and tell her, I'm coming back. I just need some time, right? Which is really helpful for me because I'm afraid of change. And probably one of the biggest changes that I would be fearful of is, God forbid, you walking away and never coming back to me. Yeah, that's hard. I know. He doesn't even like to say things that out loud. So let's rewind a little bit. So first and foremost, people don't necessarily realize that fear is a thing. It's a thought, but it's almost tangible. So I say this to the kids a lot. I said it to the girls over the weekend. I say it to the students at the studio, that you're not your thoughts. Just because you think something, just because you feel something, does not make it a real thing.
You don't have to act on it. You could step back and think about it.
No. Well, 99% of the things that we worry about do not come to fruition. So how about that? Think about all the mental energy.
That's a high percentage too.
That's a high percentage. Yeah. So you want to be prepared, right? You want to be prepared, but you have to understand that a lot of the stuff that we get scared of, right? These changes we fear are coming ahead, they're pretty much based on fairy tale. But there are many times in our lives, I shouldn't even say but, probably just about every moment of our life, we're dealing with something. Every step we take, every move we make is unexpected. I'm leaving the office. I drop my pen. I have to pick my pen up. Oop, I hurt my back when I, you know, there's all these little things that come about. How do I learn to keep my cool? And that's really what we're going to go over in this episode. We're going to teach you through our experiences, through Manny's dealing with MS and me dealing with so many life changes back in the mid-00s. We're going to teach you that not only are you not doomed when you're dealing with change, rather, you will flourish and thrive. And there are so many millions and billions and billions of experiences that people can trace throughout history where, had that not happened, then this wouldn't have happened. Then that wouldn't have happened.
But then your mind starts to go, when you start thinking, well, I could have done this. I should have done that. And look forward.
Yeah. Well, and this is what we're here to do. We're here to inspire people when you feel those fearful feelings come on, to really just kind of take a breath. So we talked about the horse, right? And let's compare life, right? Let's compare life to the horse. So you get on a horse and you're scared and the horse isn't doing what you want it to do, right? Right? If you're scared, you're not going to be a very good rider.
Preparation and trying to break the horse is what you do first.
What do you mean when you say try to break the horse? What does that
breaking
mean?
Breaking the horse, you know, as far, I'm not a rancher. And again, you know, this is, you know, I did my Missouri thing when I back in the day with the ranch.
Another unexpected change in your life. We'll get to that.
Delivering calves and stuff. Yeah. Okay. But just getting back, you know, and knowing how to break the horse down. It means be able to ride it. Because as soon as you get on a horse, the horse is scared too. As long as you're scared, you both are scared.
Well, it's kind of like children.
Get off my back. Get off my back. So that's breaking the horse. Once the horse calms down, you break that horse from doing that, then you're able to ride the horse. That's breaking a horse.
Okay.
And, you know, as far as, again, you know, I'm not the best cowboy, but, you know.
Okay.
With the horses cows we had.
I would almost equate the horse to our monkey mind, right, into our responses to fear. So let's wrap up at this point, because in our next episode, in our next segment, we're going to get into your first brush, I would say, with change and adapting and filling space. So I want to know, how did you do, baby? Because whatever happened to you, it worked.
I'm looking at one of the major parts.
Thank you. You're very sweet. All right, everybody. So stay tuned. Come back in our next segment. We'll talk about embracing and adapting and filling the space. So we'll see you. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Good Soul. We are on episode 6. I have episode 5 written on my notes. I'm like, wait a minute, let me check my notes. We plan, God laughs, and embracing change. So in the second segment, was that God I heard? Adapting and filling the space. Space is a gift, right? Space is a gift. So there's no species on this planet that is more fearful of change than the human race. However, there is no species on this planet that is more adaptable to change than the human race.
Because of the mind.
Because of the mind, exactly. Human beings can adapt to anything. And so
Go ahead. I'm sorry, sweetie.
No, that's okay. Were you going to say something?
No, go on. Go
okay.
On. I'm sorry.
So I'm going to read you an excerpt from a Good Soul Daily email that I wrote probably about a month ago. It goes something like this.
Let it rip.
There will come a time in your life when you'll be asked to fill in a space that has been left empty by the loss of something you love. The loss probably can never be replaced, but still that empty space will beg to be filled, will need to be filled. And that empty space will call to you, asking you to not only grieve in stillness, which you must do, right? But also over time, challenge you to push yourself through change. The utmost is to fill that space with even more gifts, most particularly gifts that involve some form of dream of yours.
Ooh.
Right? You have to do something. You have to create something within you that will fill that space, or that empty space will become all that you are and there will be no movement, right? And when there is no growth, right, there is no life. When there is no movement, there is no growth. And if we are not growing, we are not living. I don't know anyone who completely changed their lives without starting to have to rebuild from something unexpected or sad. I'm going to say that again for the people, right, in the cheap seats. I don't know anyone who ever completely changed their life who didn't start rebuilding from something unexpected or sad. So if you're listening to this, whether you're going through like the golden ages of your life, right, or you're going through some of the toughest times of your life, right, this should resonate with you. We just got, you know, you talk to friends, you talk to family members. We got some horrible news from a friend the other day, and we just kind of sit and stare in silence. And all you could say to the person is, it's going to get better. It's going to get better. It's going to get better.
There's not many other words you can say when somebody's in despair like that, you know?
No.
You know?
Yeah.
You want to empathize
with them. Yeah. But I think too, that person just being around us, I think it really did help them to just kind of find more hope. And you can feel that in your heart.
You see the light. See a little.
Yeah. Like you're not doomed.
You're never doomed. Never doomed. There's always a way out somehow, some way.
Well, and I think one of the most important ways we can get out of that space is to be around the people that we love. But we look at Keanu Reeves, right? Keanu Reeves is a great example.
Donates to everyone, be so kind, generous.
Well, and let's backtrack a little bit. He donates because he's been through so much. So he had lost his father. Mm-hmm. His father didn't pass, but I think his father left them at a young age. They moved, I think it was to Thailand. Lebanon, I think it was. They moved to a few kind of places that not everybody would move to. And then they ended up in Canada back in 1985. So in 1985, I'm going to assume he was probably just under 20 years old. He had a fiance or a wife, I believe. They lost their baby. It was stillborn at 8 months, which really did a job on their relationship. And then I believe he lost her in a car accident. Not soon thereafter.
I don't want to joke about anything, but like, you know, the movie Wick loses the dog.
Yeah.
Even that, you know.
Yeah. Well, maybe who knows if that somehow influenced
that's
the script.
That's why I brought it up.
And maybe why the character is so likable. But just Google Keanu Reeves and you can see all the incredible things that he's done.
And a reference to the dogs. Nobody knows out there. Wick. John Wick.
Well, if you've seen John Wick, you'll know. And if you haven't seen John Wick, what is there? Three of them now. You should definitely see John Wick. Another great example of somebody would be Arnold Schwarzenegger, who not only has overcome, but he has
came a long way from where he was.
Oh, and he's also continued to reinvent himself repeatedly. He's reinvented himself from weightlifting to acting, then onto politics. Yeah. So. And then, of course, my girl Madonna, which, but I love, you know, she will always.
And I'm not knocking her. I'm just saying that's your little.
It's my thing. Yeah. You know, what did we do on New Year's Eve this year? We spent New Year's Eve watching old Madonna concerts.
Not knocking it down, but.
No, well, you like to watch me have fun, which is.
Exactly. That's the only reason I endure.
Yeah. So, Madonna, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Keanu Reeves. Manny Alvarez. Let's talk about you.
Okay,
so Manny really had to endure some major stuff. You grew up in suburban New Jersey.
Leonardo,
he's the oldest of three boys. His father is
Peter and Chris.
His father is an immigrant from Spain. His mother grew up in the Mattawan area. I think she was born in Jersey City, if I'm not mistaken.
I think it was, yeah.
Jersey City.
Yes.
And
that's why I know I was born.
Yeah, and grew up in Leonardo, which is a town kind of similar to, say, like a Statesville-type town, right? And one unexpected thing, and we don't have to get into this too crazily, but his parents decided to move to Missouri when, what, were you 18, 19 years old?
Yeah.
Was Chris still in high school?
Just graduated. So, yeah, around 19.
All right. Well, no.
19, 20.
Yeah, he's about 20 years old. So that was something you had to learn to adapt to. But the biggest thing of it all was he had gone on. You had lived in Missouri for a short time.
Well, we lived here first before that happened. My parents moved away. And then we stayed in Jersey because my father owned property there. Owned a couple of houses.
Right.
So we stayed in one of the houses.
You stayed. That's right.
And then I was they moved. And I said, like you said, around 20 and then 21, they were, you know, there in Missouri. And then that's when I went at 25 after the car accident.
Yeah. I mean, no disrespect. Oh, you went after the car accident. So yeah. Manny had a near fatal car accident at age 21. And
I don't want to talk my whole life, but before that, I was in South Carolina. I was going to live there for a while. And I was only going back to Jersey to get my clothes.
I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere. I have
stories.
Man.
You can go on for hours and hours of my stories.
Woo. The man in black. No, he has. You have lived 1,000 lives. But he ended up marrying his first wife, Joanne, who I have a fine relationship with. So there's no bad blood there, which is really helpful for all of us. I think she's awesome. But they ended up, I guess your marriage started to kind of, things started to drift apart.
Yeah, times get tough.
Situations
happen.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
I don't want to, you know.
Oh, God, never. No, well, listen. I mean,
two beautiful girls, so.
So many good things.
Well, we do. I'm sorry to say. We do. Three. Well, I can't say two. Three, okay.
Yes, of course. You know of course. And a blended family, that's an episode unto itself. But anyway, right around the time when your marriage started to kind of weaken a little bit, you were diagnosed with MS. So tell me a little bit about how you started to figure out this was happening.
Well, I didn't know. And when it first started, you know, I started getting symptoms of being really tired.
You're about 44 years old? 45, 46?
No, I think more like 42. Like, you know, yeah, 43. Okay. And then it
we
started
met when
45.
You were, we met when you were 47.
Yeah, so I'm saying that was 2 years before that. I was in bed for almost a year.
So you were working construction.
Yeah,
working
and I was tired, getting tired. They would go to lunch. I would stay and go to sleep in the truck and not feel good at all. And
yeah.
Meanwhile, at the time, that's when, well, just before that, I was lifting heavy. I was, you know, I went up to 247.
You looked like the Hulk.
I was
pretty
big because I came out here. I didn't know
like
nobody.
The Hulk, but yeah.
The only reason I didn't know nobody, just lifted. So anyway. Yeah. And then go back to Jersey, fast forward, get in a car wreck. Somebody need to take care of me. I was in the hospital for 2 weeks. I see you.
Okay, wait a second.
Whoa, I'm jumping too far.
You jumped back to in your 20s to your car accident?
I'm 25.
No, no. We're talking about the MS. You're in North Carolina. You're working construction.
Okay, that was
you're
back
married to Joanne. You're in your mid-40s.
Yes.
Right? You start randomly passing out on job sites.
Not passing out on job sites, passing out. I didn't know. I was just waking up on the ground. It was everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, I was getting tired of work, couldn't work. I sleep. And on the way home, it was only 20 minutes. I had to pull over, go to sleep, sleep for 10 minutes, drive the other 10 minutes.
Right.
Then I started falling down, blood getting, and not realize, just opening my eyes, I'm on the ground. I'm like, what the hell?
It started getting dangerous.
Yeah. Blood was coming. I was like, what's going on? And then one time, Joanne's sister, Chris, saw me fall. And then I jumped up and I was like, what happened? She goes, you just fell. I'm like,
yeah,
you know, because I thought somebody hit me. I don't know what happened, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah,
he was also a fighter in his former life. So that's another thing.
That's another whole episode. That's what I'm saying. We can go, I'm skipping all over and I'm sorry for that.
I know there's a lot to talk about, but right now we're talking about your
MS. Yeah, I'm sorry.
So now we're on track. So at that point, you decide you're going to go to the hospital and you visit just about every hospital in the state from Duke. Right, you're at Lake Norman.
Started Lake Norman, sort of all these hospitals around here couldn't find out what was wrong with me.
Nobody knew
what was
wrong with me. Tested you for everything.
Tested me for everything.
Yeah.
And then finally doing the research, find out Duke and
Wake Forest
are topping, you know, any kind of research or anything like that. Right. Go to Wake Forest, find this great doctor, Dr. Farr.
Dr. Emily Farr.
Great doctor. And she diagnosed me.
Okay, so basically what happens, right?
Finally.
So everybody's telling him there's nothing wrong with you, we can't figure it out. And he would stay in the ER. Go from
247 and drop down to 167.
167,
167 pounds from 247 pounds.
So the difference with Dr. Farr, and this is why we always want to question, right? We want to push. The difference with Dr. Farr is when she spinal tapped him, she basically put the needle further down, right?
Not exactly. And she took more fluid.
More fluid.
Yes,
right,
they were taking
right.
two vials. And then she goes, you know, take four because we're going to go, we're going to tap into the bottom. Well, no, it's actually the top because they were going lower.
Okay.
So it wasn't draining all the way because the lesions were on the top by my neck.
Okay.
You know, so.
So at this point, it's 2012, okay. right? And you're diagnosed.
You're better with the dates, yes.
You're diagnosed with MS. This is about a year before you and I had met, right? So we are going to wrap this segment up on that note that God bless Dr. Emily Farr, who sadly is moving to Montana.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying that. I'm giving her
but
some
I'm glad you don't have to drive an hour. You don't have to drive an hour to Winston-Salem to go to the neurologist. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Could just stay because if she's going to go to Montana, I need to.
Okay. We're negotiating his new doctor on the air. No. But anyway, guys, just stay tuned.
Sorry for going.
Don't go away. No. That's okay. This is all interesting stuff because not every day do you get to look under the hood of somebody who has MS. So don't go away. Just don't forget, like, share, comment below if any of this resonated with you. And we will be back in a few short minutes and we'll talk to you in our third segment about story. And we're going to finish Manny.
Good. Thank you.
Welcome back, everybody, to The Good Soul. We're on episode 6. This is our third segment. We plan, God laughs, and embracing change. So we were just discussing with my beloved, sweet, amazing husband, his entree into the world of having multiple sclerosis. And I'm sure many of you could relate to this on some level, whether it be diagnosed with a disease or your business failing or your marriage failing. There's all kinds of things, these unexpected and really
twists and turns
that could be, we could get paralyzed with fear. And the reality is, we live through them. We get through them. And
even with preparation, things change. That's what we said.
Yeah.
We were talking about being prepared before, you remember?
Yeah.
In another segment. So, you know, just being prepared for things, you know, helps.
Yeah.
But everything don't work out the way it is prepared.
No, absolutely. Well, yeah. I mean, and as we say, there's only one constant, and that constant is that things will change.
Yes.
So I'm going to give you a little history lesson on Heraclitus.
Please do.
He is a Greek philosopher, and somewhere around 500 BC, he made some pretty powerful statements that went on to influence many, many, many of our philosophers in years to come.
I'd like to hear.
So he claims that everything is constantly shifting and becoming something other than what it was before. Like a river, life flows ever onward. And while we may step from the riverbank into the river, the waters flowing over our feet will never be the same waters that flowed even one moment before. Heraclitus concluded that since the very nature of life is to change, to resist the natural flow was to resist the very essence of our existence. There is nothing permanent except change, right? So how frightening it is. Were you afraid you were going to die? Like when you got diagnosed with MS, how many years do I have, doc?
Exactly. Well,
I never asked you that question.
Yeah, it was scary. It was scary. Like, you know, remember now, I went to, you know, how many times did I go to Lake Norman? 3-4 times.
Yeah.
Oh, just go home. We can't find out what's wrong with you. Wait a second.
Okay. So
I can't get out of bed.
Okay. But once you were diagnosed, did you start Googling life expectancy for people with MS?
Once I'm dying, but the scare was in the beginning. You know, that's what I'm trying to say. You know, just to tell you, thinking about that, doing it was all in the beginning, not knowing what was wrong with me.
And thinking of Rachel and Jesse.
Immediately. That was the first thing. That's the first thing. That's the top tier. My kids, I put before anything. You know, our kids, again.
Yeah.
You know, put them before anything. You know how we talk.
Absolutely. And we've said this in episode 1, episode 2.
That's right. Go ahead.
Probably our most core, key, fundamental, common ground, right? That we share.
Fall back to that is the kids
are the first. They may not feel that way all the time because we're really working hard to encourage them to give them a shout out.
Molly, Jessica, Rachel.
Yes. Okay. Our little angels. They're three beauties.
Anyway, yes. So I was scared once I was diagnosed, okay, I got this. Now what can I do? I talk about preparation. What am I going to do? Because remember,
how are we going to handle this?
I couldn't. My feet weren't working right. So I had to put my socks on with things. And
yeah.
I mean, they don't work right now. But dealing what we have with.
Well, you've learned to deal. So it's not necessarily that you don't necessarily heal from MS, right?
No.
It's kind of irreversible. But the power to me of love, the power of our love, your strength. I have something.
Well, your
love
is what got, you know, I don't knock it. It's your love, my kids, the dogs.
Yeah.
That love core is what, you know, if we're jumping all over, that's the love core right there. That's what makes, I mean, got me to this.
Well, think about what Cindy said last week. I mean, it's truly the most, to me, it's the most powerful thing. If you've ever read a book called Committed by Elizabeth Gilbert, love can have the same effect on us, literally, that a drug as powerful as heroin can have on us.
Yeah.
But getting back to, like, okay, were you afraid you were going to die in the MS?
Yes.
I had gone for my mammogram about a month and a half ago. And I have.
I'm not laughing. You know what I'm saying?
Like many women, I have dense breasts. Excuse me if that makes you blush. But so I go every year, and I've gone every year since I was in my mid-30s. I would pay out of pocket before I would go to her space in Long Branch, New Jersey. And now I'm well over the age. And so I go every year. And this year they called me back. And it was the second time they called me back.
Scary for me, too, but I wasn't saying nothing.
Scary.
I tried to beat a rock. So I was trying to stay calm.
Scary.
And I was scared.
Yeah, well, no, you think I don't pick up on that? And that, yeah.
I try not to. I know, try not to show you, trust me.
Yeah. Well, he's always like, you're going before I do. You're going before I
you
do.
Are,
but
you
we,
are.
We have a goal to live into the
triple. I am.
We have a goal to live into the triple digits. That's like a deal we have. But no, but then you talk to somebody like Marianne Reese, who survived breast cancer. I mean, we have Bernice. I mean, Bernice Doan, who comes and goes here. A wonderful lady. She's a hospitalist at I forget what hospital. This adorable little lady that I would never guess. I literally watched her survive breast cancer. So we adapt
good. You know, good stories. Love that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? I mean, absolutely.
Feel
I mean,
good stuff.
Not everybody. I mean, my friend Rita Planky. I mean, Rita Lamont was her married name. She was my high school friend and first spin instructor. And sadly, she didn't make it. I mean, yeah, it's tragic. So, I mean, things happen. But beyond all of this, and let's talk about the ultimate change, is let's hope that beyond all of this, Rita is up there with my mom and my dad and your grandma and Mikey Gardner and all the people that we love and Unky, all the people that we love. I mean, look at my sister Tammy. I mean, we've talked about this. We want to dedicate a whole episode to. She lost her husband. I mean, he was her best friend. They have the two of them don't have kids. So obviously she's the coolest aunt on the planet. But, you know, Unky was her life, and it's so sad to say that she's in Hawaii right now with his family,
by the way.
They're in Hawaii right now. Yeah.
Oh, good for her, man. Good for her.
So Tammy's a great example of somebody who's filling space. She's filling her space.
The void.
She's filling the void. Yeah. And that's absolutely positively what we need to do.
It's a good way to get, you know, fill that void to actually move forward. That's the only way you're going to do it. Like you said before, you got to fill that void with something to get you going forward. And that's good that she's there. I'm so happy for her.
Yeah,
good
I know. I'm happy Tammy's in. I know she's in Hawaii. So I've never been. I can't wait to go. So when are you going to take me?
Oh, well, you know, you do the planning. So
anyway, I will. And I also do the spending. So
I'm the one. No, please.
Could have put a cap
honey,
on
please.
That spending. No, but okay. So let's talk about filling the space. I'm not pinning in on any medals on myself. We say this all the time. It's a win-win. But you were diagnosed with MS.
Oh, yes.
You and your ex-wife separated. And it's, I don't care what your love level's at. If you love each other, fight, whatever happens.
So I had a separation plus the MS diagnosis.
Right. It's horrible. And it's not, I mean, and my situation, I too went through divorce. And I say it all the time. It was the most painful situation.
Jesse went with Joanne and Rachel stayed with me. And then I'm trying to.
That was change
and talk, you know, that's what we're talking about. So change, you know, and I had to raise this child with MS, trying to keep, you know.
Well, let's get into filling space. And then along came Patty. No. And full disclosure, though, that despite the tension and the difficult times everybody was dealing with, that Rachel's mother was there for her. She didn't like move away. She lived in town. So but. I understand. So just to be clear, you and Rachel were in 153 in the house together and Joanne had moved to another home in town. Yes. With Jesse. So it was complicated. It's always dicey and it's really hard. It's very dicey and we'll leave it at that. Yeah. I want to, I talked about this with Rachel.
My kids are getting all crazy with me. Dad?
No, I wouldn't let you do that. She's not a bad, but she's a,
I'm not saying no, I'm not knocking nobody. I am knocking nobody.
Well, I just said to Rachel and Jesse a couple weeks ago, I really would love to have her and Laura Mark's new wife. Well, new wife, they've probably been married for 12 years now, but I would love to have on the show to show how you don't have to hate each other, right? But that's okay. Let's get back to the topic. Let's move on. So change. So you dealt with it. I came along.
Oh, that yes. Space the void, yes. Yeah, up. Yeah. Oh, that void was, that was a big void. Yeah. Like I said, you know, not knowing what was. Then finally knowing what was. Not knowing how I'm going to, you know, raise this child, you know, because like she said, she was taking care of Jesse. I, you know, my dudes take care of Rachel.
Right.
You know, so change, preparation, the whole nine yards, starting from nothing again, building, you know, trying to.
Right. So I came along and together we took each other's hand. Right.
You tried to cure me in 3 days, but let's, you know, I don't want to jump.
The first time we met, yes, I talked about this a little bit in episode 1 and 2, but the first time we met at a party, I sent him a message on Facebook that night that was miles long. And it was me at the time. I was vegan. I owned a juice bar. I was intensely into yoga and meditation. And I was really living that like crunchy eat, pray, love midlife crisis.
Actually had me white change girl vegan
thing.
For a year.
Yeah. Oof. Yeah. You were vegan for a year, but I came along and it was like a perfect thing. Cause Rachel was vegetarian. Was. So I think me being vegan was like definitely a bonus. Like it definitely allowed me and Rachel to really kind of bond over that.
Oh my gosh. When I found out, that's another whole story. Rachel finding out she was vegan. You know,
I know she was excited.
Eat the meat. She goes, I don't like the meat. Yeah. Eat the meat.
I know. Yeah. He made her.
Oh my God.
Well, that was another change you had to deal with. I mean, these are all things like, yeah, they're sitting at the dinner table. She's in second grade and he's trying to force her to eat a chicken nugget.
I didn't know. I thought you just didn't want to eat. I'm like, you got it, you know, for,
yeah. Well, it would be like me being like, Manny, eat my big toe.
I felt,
you know,
so
you were
bad.
Like, oh, it's,
you
know, alien.
How bad. It still bothers me today. Like, yeah. I was trying to force it. Yeah. He's like, that, I don't want to eat me. I'm like,
oh. All right. So we'll just kind of wrap it up here. Is you went from this crazy, you know, time in your life, this tumultuous time where you were diagnosed with MS and your marriage had fallen apart and it was you and Rachel and I came into this situation and you guys kind of saw, we didn't get too medical on episode 1 and 2, but you did see like the beauty and the joy that's come about. And I present to you the finished product.
Well, it's still not finished. We're still working.
Of course.
Every day's a working.
Everything is a work in progress.
Yeah, but yes, we came a long way, baby. And yes.
But guys.
A lot of credit, most of
this is why we're
you,
here.
To you, sweetheart. To you.
Yeah, well.
My kids again.
To you.
Dogs again. We go all back to the same thing over and over. But again, back to the love core. That bond.
Well, this is why we're here. And this is the whole crux. This is the whole goal and mission of this show is for you to hear simple stories of people, right? We're going to tap into the good soul within people. We're tapping into his, right? The good parts. Cause God knows we have all kinds of parts,
a lot of stories to tell.
But we're tapping in and hopefully let his story inspire you. If anything, let the story inspire you.
I really do.
No matter
what MS is, I don't mean to cut you off, but it's rough. And I hope it really does, you know?
Yeah,
there is.
Well, no, that's okay. No matter what you're dealing in with life, there is nothing in the world that you can't handle. And not only survive, but also you can thrive from. So stay tuned. We're going to give you 6 simple steps, right, to help you handle change in the best way possible. So stay tuned. Don't go away. We'll be back. Greetings and salutations, fine people. Welcome back to The Good Soul, episode 6. We plan, God laughs. One of my favorite quotes. And how to embrace.
I did that the whole time.
No. How to embrace change. So Manny was sweet enough to share with us his story about how he has dealt with and is dealing with living with his MS. And I don't know about you, but I'm really inspired.
Continuous battle.
It's a continuous battle that we all continue to fight. And, you know, you just surround yourself
with
the right
people.
Not just
with MS, it's with, like you said, life in general.
With life in general. Well, you know, I said this to you, and I really mean this. I read this quote yesterday that your body may be somewhat limited, but your spirit is unstoppable.
Thank you, sweetheart. Yeah. Thank you so much. It really does, you know, it helps me out, you know, and give me a little boost on the back.
Good. Nice. Well, I'm going to do that. I mean, till the day I die, I'm going to do
it. And that's coming right back at you. You know that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, this is what we do for each other. And guys, we said this on the break to the guys at the radio station. We'll say it to you now. It's not always like
this. No.
There are moments when.
You know what time it is?
Yeah. So I don't want to annoy everybody with our you know, picture perfect.
Yeah, not all love and flowers. And
yeah, we have our moments. But I did want to close this I want to open this segment and kind of wrap this up with a quote. And then we're going to get to the six steps, which is going to be really helpful for people.
Okay.
So novelist Elena Ferrante had said recently, we don't have to fear change. What is other should not frighten us. Something in us wishes to remain a child, to reject anything that's strange. That was written by Carl Jung in The Stages of Life, echoing Heraclitus, who we quoted earlier on, that the one thing that we can't stop is change. For these thinkers, refusal to embrace change as a necessary and normal part of life will lead to problems, pain, and disappointment. If we accept that everything is constantly changing and fleeting, they say, things run together more slowly. Here's another really great quote. Let go or be dragged. I'm going to say it again. Ooh, let go or be dragged. Right. And that's another, that's a really great episode topic on there's people who can't let go of certain things.
Hold on too long.
Well, they hold on. Yeah.
And like you said, let go once in a while.
Yeah. Well, it's like squeezing a balloon when you squeeze it too tight and ultimately it's going to explode.
Exactly.
So be a river. Don't be a rock. Right? Be a river. Don't be a rock. Look at you. That was pretty sassy there. So let's talk about the six steps, right? And guys, if you want to grab a pen and paper, get a little inspired by this. I love checking my boxes.
Where's my
paper? So, yeah.
Believe me.
Yeah, you have an inside track to the notes. So let's start with item number one in embracing change. Plan ahead. If you know the change is on the horizon, do some prep work. Think about what you might do if an elderly parent falls ill, if your company is going through layoffs and you're like, ooh, my neck's on the chopping block. Consider how you'd navigate a job change. Change is less stressful when you have a contingency plan in place, right?
It's always good to have something in the back of your mind that you can fall back on.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking about being in business. I've been an entrepreneur my entire adult life, and there was always this rule that you should have 6 months working capital in the bank.
Oh, yeah. That goes.
I'm not quite there yet, but hopefully.
Now.
I shouldn't say that. I know I'm going to get there. I know I'm going to get there. And I think that the growth also is part of the joy of the process. I mean, going through all of this, we could never.
You get an achievement once you're there, too. You're like, yes.
Yeah. And then we move on to the next thing we're striving for, but we can never really appreciate our health. Right. Until we've been sick, we can never appreciate delicious food unless we've been hungry.
Yeah.
So one is plan ahead. Two, reframe your thinking. So figure out what's going on in your mind when you're feeling sad and break the negative pattern. Once you become aware of your negative thoughts, right, you're better equipped to shift them and emphasize the positive. For example, instead of I don't deserve a raise, tweak the thought to I worked hard for this recognition. Right. So the universe is listening. I don't care if it's our subconscious. Everybody have their ideas of who has a hand on why is, you know, we're here and who's created what. Mm. But I will say this. I'm a firm believer that our thoughts speak directly to our gestures and the way we maneuver ourselves through our lives. And it has absolutely the most powerful impact on any outcome, any goal we have to set. You must believe it.
Believe in yourself.
So wishing for something is not going to get you there. Believing it is going to force you and the world around you.
Thriving for it.
Yeah. And it's going to make things kind of like, you know, they say like the path will clear itself, right? So reframe your thinking. Take time to reflect, number three. So with today's jam-packed schedules, most people don't take the time to mark or mourn what they're losing before diving into something new. Wow. That's powerful. Rather than numb the feelings of sadness with new distraction, give your thoughts a voice. Write them in a journal. We talk about this in probably every episode.
Well, you see, I write a lot of stuff down. I got them notebooks that go.
All right, wait a minute. You are not writing down your thoughts and emotions.
Oh, wait, not the thoughts and emotions, but things I got to do and accomplish.
I wish.
The things I got to do and accomplish.
Yeah, well, okay. That would be
all right.
But I would be really happy if you started journaling. That would be so cool. All right, we'll get back to that.
Okay, sorry. Never sweetie.
Talk with a trusted friend. Make an appointment with a therapist. You might even consider honoring the loss of somebody with a scrapbook, a poem, make a project out of it. But you don't want to turn your life into sort of like a shrine to what once was, right? Yeah. You don't want to do that. You want to definitely reflect. You want to acknowledge. You want to, again, I love this. You want to write it down, right? And then move on. and no sooner. So you don't want to put the tablecloth on the table before you dusted the crumbs off, right? And you cleaned it off. Especially not you, Mr. OCD. Number four. Strive to maintain some normalcy. So structure and routine are key. So no matter what, right, it's comforting. The more you can maintain your tried and true routine in the midst of a change, the better off you're going to feel. Go for your usual morning walk. Visit the same coffee shop if you can. Try to stick to your normal sleeping, eating times. And if you can't, let's say you fell and broke your leg or you're doing something, you have the people around you support you.
So support you. And then you could get back on the track again. You know, yeah. Always looking forward.
Yeah. Prepare. Well, unfolding little parts of your regular routine into what you're doing. I always think of like, what was the movie? I can't remember. It was at World War Z. What was the one with Tom Cruise with Dakota Fanning where like the world ends or the world is ending? It wasn't World War Z. That was
Brad Pitt.
Yeah. I can't think of the name of the movie, but at any rate, like where.
World Wars. War of the Worlds. There you go.
I think it was
man, I'm getting tongue-tied on that
one. Yeah, but how like, you know, they wake up the next morning and same with the one with Will Smith and the sun rises and you kind of look around and it really does
make a deep breath and
it makes you appreciate the normal, like mundane tasks that we wish to do. And anytime anybody gets kind of frustrated at the studio, whether it's at a student or at each other or whatever, I always say, you would miss that person if they went away and they never came back.
It's part of the routine.
It's part of our routine. So we'll take that guy who can be a curmudgeon sometimes. You can take that.
It breaks up, you know.
Yeah, no, we can. I mean,
keeps it going.
Yeah. So anyway, that normalcy. Number five, create some comfort. Incorporate stress relieving and enjoyable activities. Come to Good Soul Hot Yoga. Get massages. Right on. Take walks. Listening, I take a hot bath every night before we get into bed.
You do.
I make sure there's lavender salt in the bath. I light candle. My candle. Yeah, why not turn your life into kind of to this delightful, and all of these things, I say this all the time, these things don't require megabucks, right? They're all very simple things that we can fold into our life. So go to the gym, take a warm bath. It doesn't matter what you do as long as it's comforting to you and healthy. What did we do yesterday that was so cool?
We took our walk,
right? Which is, okay, first of all, a walk for him is extremely challenging, right?
Okay, yes.
He doesn't just strut down the street like a stray cat. No. He's got his cane.
Or even if not, we do the walk or whatever it takes. But yes, we go on a walk.
But what an amazing honor and joy and gift that we were able to get out and take the dogs. And again, while it's not easy for somebody like him, we made it happen. Exactly. You adapted.
I adapted. And the golf court, and even if it comes down to the golf court, even riding the golf court together.
Yeah. Yeah. All the little things.
Just a little something to do together, you know.
I know. Well, we're sure damn lucky we like each other. Every day is like Christmas when I come home. I can't wait to see you. The vacuum is running. All right. And number six, let's wrap this up. Count your blessings. Whether you received a difficult diagnosis or you're about to start a new job, counting your blessings and gratitude, you can journal it or share it, right? Should be one of the top three things you do every day with a family member. Maybe at dinner, you guys can talk about it with the people you love, but it can go a long way towards
that window in the morning, that blind in the morning. Like,
is that when you stop and think about the things you're grateful for?
Everything. That's when I sit back, because that gives me my time. You know, I can do my little stretch or anything that you do. That's what I focus on.
So gratitude can leave you feeling less depleted and much more hopeful. So I'm going to run through these one more time.
Okay, let it rip, girl.
Number one, in dealing with change in the most effective way. Number one, plan ahead. Number two, reframe your thinking. Number three, take time to reflect. Number four, strive to maintain normalcy. Number five, create some comfort. And number six, count your blessings.
Beautiful.
And
seeing
always remember,
start the day like that.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
well, find those you. Things. I do it every day when I'm about to leave the studio and I shut in the lobby. I shut the air conditioning off. And there's something about my parents, my father and mother that like wash through me. And I look up at the sky out the window and I say, thank you, God.
Yeah. Like I said, you know, in the morning, you know, you go to work. So I, you know, when I get up in the morning, open that blind, that sun coming right over the crest now, you know, it's beautiful back. And then the day starts. Then the routine starts.
Yeah.
Then the routine starts. And the cat comes by me and starts purring.
So I'm going to wrap this episode up with a very powerful quote that I heard Trevor Noah say to Howard Stern about 4 years ago. Right. We talk about change. And in this case, it would be in a relationship. And the woman looked at the partner and said, "You've changed." And the partner said, "No, I haven't. You're just getting to know me a little bit more." So allow the partner in this circumstance to be life, right? Understand that life is going to change. There is no avoiding that, right? And the change, right, brings along big magic and all sorts of gifts. So there's any success stories we talked at the beginning of the segment. Very few success stories aren't, right? The seed isn't planted through some sort of tragedy or misfortune or seeming misfortune. And then we grow. So keep coming back. Please like, share, and comment on YouTube. You can catch this on all platforms.
Please
do. And of course, you can catch us on WSIC on Saturday mornings from 9 to 10. That's 105.9 FM radio. And of course, keep coming back. We love you all. Thank you so much for giving this us opportunity to let our voices be heard and for us to spread the good soul word. Love you all. Peace. Until next time. We'll see you.